Did you see the stylish kids in the riot? Shoveled up like monks at the night on fire, wombles bleed, truncheons and shields. You know I cherish you, my love.
Welcome to the Young IPA Podcast. I'm James, this is Pete.
G'day everyone.
It is the 22nd of January and this is episode 93. We've got a huge show for you guys coming up. We're going to be talking to, once again, Dr. Bella Debrera.
She's got to learn to share.
The talking stick has to be passed around eventually, but conch. For now she is holding that conch for dear life. But she's had a huge week. She is going to be talking to us about the results of the IPA's Australia, well, the IPA commissioned a poll on people's attitudes towards Australia Day. Really interesting chat, and this may surprise you, but there does seem to be a bit of a discord, like a difference of opinion between Australia's intellectual elite and actual regular Australians.
Some discord.
And we're also going to be talking to Scott Hargraves and Dr. Chris Berg, both great friends of the show. They are launching a new podcast under the IPA banner, which is going to be really exciting. It's going to be called Looking Forward. So we're going to be talking to Scott and Chris about what subscribers of that show can expect.
Well, you know, on the back of the runaway success of the Young IPA podcast, why wouldn't you want more of a good thing?
Why? No, you would not. You would want much more of a good thing.
That's right.
That is what that podcast is going to be. I'm going to be producing that one. I was sitting in on the pilot. It was an excellent discussion. So you guys are going to really enjoy it as well. Sorry, that is coming up on the show. So let's talk about some of the big issues this week. And I reckon we should start with Australia Day.
Well, if you thought that 2019 was going to be different, it is culture wars, culture wars, culture wars already.
Well, see, this is my... We'll get into this. But so basically, IPA this week have released the results of a poll that we commissioned. And Dr. Bella Debrera was the person that put that all together. Going to be talking to her later in the show. So basically, the findings that goes out in interviews, Australians, all these different types of demographics to discover attitudes towards Australia Day. So some of the polling results, the major ones, we're going to get into the specifics with Bella later in the show. But major ones are 87% of Australians are proud to be Australian, only 3% are not. 76% of respondents believe this country has a history to be proud of, while only 11% did not. And then the main one here, 75% of Australians think that we should continue to celebrate Australia Day on January 26, while only 10% actually want the date to be changed, with the others like not really having a big opinion on it. So three quarters of Australians want Australia Day to stay, which is just not the takeaway you would have if you just watched television.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
So
your thoughts?
Well, that's...
Discuss.
Oh, you want me to say stuff? Okay. Yeah, no, well, I mean, it's, to me, the case for moving Australia Day rests on all these claims, which to me aren't apparently... it's not apparent that they're true.
Yeah.
The main one is this idea that Indigenous people want to move it. Now, I'm sure like a lot of Indigenous people do want to move it, but there's a significant number of Indigenous people who firstly don't care, and there's another group who don't want to move it.
Yeah.
This idea of Indigenous unification around this issue is absolutely false. We spoke to Jacinta Price last year about this, and she, of course, doesn't want to move it. There's a number of Indigenous elders who've come out and say they don't want to move it.
Yep.
That fellow from Yothiyindi whose name escapes me.
Yep, one of the founding members of Yothiyindi as well. He said he doesn't want the day to be changed. It's almost as if Indigenous people are individuals capable of making up their own minds on an issue, rather than one homogenous group which people can say they all want the same thing.
Well, look, James, you could be onto something there. In addition, of course, this idea that Australians, you know, we have to move it because Australians don't realise that bad things happen to Indigenous people in the course of settlement. As we discussed with Bella a little bit later, of course, that's not true. Australians do realise that bad things happen to Indigenous people, and that can be incorporated into our National Day. I've got quite a few of these.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, so a lot of that is what we're talking to Bella later on in the show, and we can really get into specifics. Something we didn't bring up with Bella is, to me, there seems to be a lot less change of the day this year than last year.
Yeah.
Is everyone vibing that?
Well...
Just like on my Facebook feed, like last year, Triple J had already changed the date of the Hottest 100 Countdown.
Yep.
So this year, there doesn't seem to be as much traffic for a change of the date kind of thing.
You could be right.
Wind's kind of out of the sails. I think Dr. Bella Debrera killed it.
Wow.
I think Bella has destroyed change of the date once and for all. That would be my feel.
Yeah, well, I was starting to think that as well, you know. The poll results would indicate that.
Yeah. So here's my other thing. Do you reckon Triple J could ever change the date back. For people that don't know, so Triple J's like Hottest 100 Countdown used to come out on Australia Day of like the biggest songs of the previous year. Then they changed it because Australia Day is problematic, and they changed it to like the day after Australia Day because you still want to get those barbecues happening if you're Triple J. Do you reckon they could ever change it back?
I think they could. I don't think there's ever an end to a political debate, but it couldn't happen for a while. The sting would have to completely go out of it.
Yeah, and still they'd put up with about a good 24 hours of social media bollocking for it.
Well, maybe by the time that happens, we'll have something that has replaced social media. Yeah, but I doubt it. Yeah, I mean, look, who knows? But if they want to get that back on, they should get Bella to run the...
Bella hosts it. Now, the other one... I looked into this. Sorry. When the station announced it wanted to decouple the Hottest 100 from Australia Day, wasn't that how Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin got... divorced? No, that was conscious uncoupling. My bad. So they're divorcing Mr. F Australia Day. It said the countdown would now be held on the final weekend of January, which leaves the door open for the countdown occasionally falling on January 26, including in 2019. Now, it's not 2019, but they're going to say like, oh, well, it's the final weekend and I suppose it just has to be on Australia Day. You know what? Let's just keep it here. I think we'll keep it here. I think that's how it's
going
to happen.
That is how it's going to happen. I'm actually going to a Hottest 100 Countdown barbecue on the 27th of this month.
Interesting. So what do you reckon will be number one?
I have no idea.
To be honest, I am so removed from modern music that I use the Triple J Hottest 100 as like, that's what people are listening to these days. Like last year, I reckon I knew two songs from the top 100.
Yeah, I'm sort of, basically once I started catching the train to work and I wasn't listening to Triple J in the morning. So.
Yeah.
And I'm 500 million years old now, so there's a couple of things. I just want to make one more point about Australia Day. One of the things that really annoys me is that this is always the single biggest Indigenous story of the year.
Yep.
So that always annoys me. I think I say that every year.
Yeah.
First, there's a lot of issues that Indigenous people face, but also there's a lot of positive stories about Indigenous people.
Yeah.
You know, we see a very large portion of Indigenous people either closing the gap, or the so-called gap, or will close the gap within a generation. How can we not talk about that?
Well, because it makes people feel good to get retweets when they call it hashtag Invasion Day.
That is something.
But it is completely the thing. Like politicians can just say, you know, oh, we should change the date, and people can get in the streets about changing the date, and that like kind of gives them a free pass to ignore education standards for the next 11 months or like the health stuff.
The things that people have to face in Uendamu.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, let's move on. Shall we move on to the biggest talking point of the last week internationally, I reckon. The MAGA teenagers.
MAGA kids, yeah, okay, fair enough. Let me set the scene for you, James. Now, a lot of people out there have probably already heard this story, but I'll just give you the synopsis just in case you haven't. Social media lit up recently.
And also, it happened so quickly. Like, there were so many different versions of this story. So, with context and a timeline, Peter Gregory.
My strength, getting the context right. No, well, so social media lit up when footage circulated online of confrontation at a rally at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington. The video showed a young student in a red MAGA cap standing directly in front of Native American elder Nathan Phillips, who was beating a drum and singing a song after the Indigenous People's March. The kids from the high school, from a high school in Kentucky, had attended a pro-life rally that was on at the same time. Now, what happened was, as you've probably seen the footage, but there's one kid in particular who stands right in front of him, kind of smiles at him while he's doing that. Mm. That went viral. There are all these calls from celebrities and politicians, and the story was that this group of white teenagers had surrounded this bloke and made fun of his culture.
Mm-hmm. Which would be terrible.
Which would be terrible, that's true.
If true.
That's true. And what happened was, in the next day or so, it emerged that actually, that is not what actually happened. The kid was standing there, they had been... racially abused and homophobically abused and just abused in general by a group nearby called the Black Hebrew Israelites, I'm going to say. Yep,
that's
got
the
that
one.
Right. Beauty. So that had been going on for a couple of hours. They're waiting for their bus to go back.
I love that if that was like what journalists did when they're reporting a story, they just go, you beauty. Just to themselves and they get major facts, right?
Yeah, just basic information correct. Yeah. So that had happened. They'd been waiting for their bus to go back to Kentucky. And then this Nathan Phillips, the Native American guy, walked into their thing, beat the drum.
Yeah.
They kind of joined in with some of it. There was, you know...
Yeah, they think he's on in their side initially, because he seems to be joining in with them as they're chanting.
And this kid...
It's so weird.
Oh, look, I've got this theory about protests.
Yeah.
They're awkward.
Yeah, no, they're just weird things. Like, I don't know, It'd take a lot for me to get into the streets for any political issue at all, or any issue.
yeah, For any reason, just leave the house would be difficult.
No, it's just, why would you?
Yeah, but no, it is awkward. You know what's made it awkward? The smartphone. See, back in the day, you know, protests were cool because everyone was just there at the protest. Now it's like everyone's, like, so many people are filming, other people filming, and it's just this weird, awkward mess that you can watch on YouTube.
Yeah, because that was the thing about the second video. The longer video that came out about this one was that if you zoom out, I guess, or just stand a bit further back of Nathan Phillips beating the drum, behind him is, like, you know, a bunch of people from the Black Hebrew Israelites just filming the kid, like, waiting for him to do something which will go viral. Mm. And it's just like, is anyone here for an actual issue, or are we just here to, you know, be trending on Twitter in 5 seconds?
Well,
I've got a million talking points of this story.
Okay.
First off, I am glad we're finally discussing the big issues in America.
Yeah,
what could potentially be more important to the health of a future nation than a 5 second interaction at a offshoot of a protest in Washington, D.C. between a 15-year-old kid and an elderly Native American gentleman?
That is one of the many aspects that makes this depressingly 2019.
Yes. I mean, like, how is that the main talking point?
Even if they were horrendously racist, which apparently they weren't being, it's like, oh my God, these 15-year-old kids are racist.
Yeah, a bunch of teenagers in a crowd aren't gentlemen.
Yeah.
Blow me down with a feather.
Yeah.
And then the other point, like, because this thing got out of hand so quickly. Like, immediately people are trying to find out who the kid is. They find out who the kid is. And then they find out the kid had a blog like, oh, I'd love to go to this college, or I'd like to work at this company, and I have all these other things. So they start emailing the college saying, hey, when this kid applies, don't let him in. He's a racist. Now, Pete and I swing pretty libertarian, I'd say. We're all about...
I was starting to call myself a liberal.
Yeah, yeah. We don't really come down too hard on the government should intervene and, like, people should have freedom of speech, et cetera, et cetera. I have one caveat.
Okay.
Anyone that spent their weekend trying to destroy this kid's life based off a screenshot, or maybe they watched the entire 10-second video, they should not have access to the internet. The world is, better off without them ever having access to the internet.
Are you on board
again
with that, Nina?
Yeah.
If they emailed a college to ruin a teenager's life based on 5 seconds of footage, no more internet.
Pretty bad. And that's not the
worst. You can't be trusted with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm not going to agree with that, but I can understand.
I'm being facetious. I need to spend some time in my own head and figure out what I think about this.
Yeah.
But then it's crazy.
But it was threats of violence as well.
There's threats of violence against his family. Yep. One of them said, I live in your neighborhood. There's other stuff like. There's some real vile stuff on Twitter. Like, someone tweeted, even a CNN journalist was like, isn't this the most punchable face you've ever seen?
Well, they never get things wrong, CNN.
Yeah. So. And then my third talking point is kind of related to my first one of, I'm glad we're discussing the big issues. It was Martin Luther King's birthday yesterday.
Okay.
And there is no better way to celebrate that man's legacy and all the things he said than getting on Twitter and fantasizing about beating up a 15-year-old white kid because you think that's going to solve racism.
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't that one of the things, like, the Table of Brotherhood was just going to be a fist fight over the top, or were they sitting there peacefully? I forget.
I don't know.
Anyway. I'm getting righteously indignant.
I can absolutely confirm that you are getting righteously indignant.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but I mean, as we've sort of alluded to, this is everything that is yucky 2019 politics. There's social media, there's deceit, there's accusations of racism, the threats of violence, everything that American politics has sunk to.
That's the other thing. Is like, where the hell are the school's teachers?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The school's teachers were just watching all this unfold going like, yeah, this is fine. We're going to meet the bus any minute now.
This is fine.
Yeah, this is it. All right. If I have to go down there, it's going to be a thing.
Yeah, this is fine.
This is, just keep that going.
Allegedly, he said they asked the teachers if they could sing their school songs. And the teachers said, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
So there were teachers there.
So good, but like, do you want to like get them away from the people hurling these insults?
Yeah, well, that's true.
Just
want to
be like, you know what? I know we told the bus driver that we'd meet him here.
Yeah.
Let's go 200 metres that way.
Yeah. Oh, and you could definitely mount that argument.
Yeah.
If I was the principal of the school, I'd be like...
Yeah, all right. People bring it in. Really good. We've got a lot of really great reports from most of the time that kids spend at the March for Life rally.
Mm-hmm.
That 10 minutes there at the end, though, I really want to unpack what happened at the end.
But like a billion people are now talking about.
Yeah, it's just like we're trending on Twitter for 3 days.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see what happens with that. Probably nothing.
You'd hope.
Do you know what, actually?
I reckon that kid's going to have a pretty tough next couple of years.
If we're going to talk about repercussions, I actually feel like it is a bit of a turning point.
Well, there's a lot of celebrities deleting all the tweets they put out about him initially.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, you've clearly acted very poorly. This person is a child.
Mm.
And, you know, for me, this feels like something where a lot of people are like kind of going, yeah, you know what, this is garbage. Anyway.
Pete, your wild-eyed optimism is something to look up to, but my dark soul and my, you know, I don't even know how to describe.
There's a lot of things about me that you should aspire to, James.
Yeah, well, please. And we'll move on to your third story. So this one kind of got taken away by the MAGA children, but probably could have been a bigger one. So BuzzFeed, they thought they were onto something.
They
thought they finally bought the thing that was going to... They finally found the thing that was going to bring Trump down.
They got the air quotes, big one.
Yeah, big one. Trump was finished. The only time anyone has ever said that this would be the one thing that would bring Trump down. But they have a report out through Anthony Cormier and his colleague Jason Leopold alleging that Trump told Cohen to lie to Congress about a Trump Tower project in Moscow. The president had repeatedly denied any business dealings with the Russians. Now, there is a new story every day about who said what, when, and where. But all you need to know about this one is that this is appeared to be the most direct allegation yet that Trump had obstructed justice. And once you prove that he's obstructed justice, it's the way of, he goes away of Clinton and Nixon and there's impeachment.
Yep.
So this was the smoking gun.
Yep.
Unfortunately, it seemed to be like a BB pea shooter that seemed to be kind of on fire rather than a smoking gun. So they defend it. They say the sources are correct. Cormier's on CNN show Reliable Sources, ironically saying my sources are good. And then Robert Mueller, who never talks to the media, it's quite rare for him to do it, never comments on media reports while he's doing his investigation. He came down and said, through a spokesperson said, what's in the report about our dealings is not correct.
Bum, bum.
Not good.
Well, James, CNN and MSNBC collectively used the word impeached nearly 200 times on Friday.
Which is only up from 175 on every other day, so I don't know how much to read into that.
So... okay, fair enough.
Pete's an actual statistic. I just went for a joke.
Like the story previously,
yep.
This is why people go, you know, why does Trump say fake news and why do people not trust the media?
Yeah.
Because of stuff like this.
Through this story and also the MAGA teenagers, I have a resolution. I don't believe in New Year's resolutions, but let's just call it a New Year's resolution because it matches up. I am now no longer reading about a story until it's happened for 3 days.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to learn what actually happened. If you read about the MAGA teenagers on the day, they're the worst racists in the history of the planet.
Oh, look.
If you wait 3 days, it's like, it's not like that.
Yeah.
If you read the BuzzFeed story on the day, it's like, Trump is dead. Orange man bad. Trump is finished.
Better wait 3 days.
3 days later, you're like, oh, wait, they stuffed it.
Yeah.
The other one is BuzzFeed.
Okay. Give me your thoughts.
Now, we've all tried to be something we're not.
What have you
We've
tried
all
to be?
Tried to aspire to heights that others may set for us. Maybe they're Peter Gregory, maybe they're Nina.
Yeah.
And we try and match it, and we can't. Stick to the quizzes. Stick to seven times that Chandler from Friends was everything.
28 times Ryan Reynolds tweeted about parenthood and it was hilarious.
Yep.
That's an actual quote.
Don't go chasing.
No, but that's
leave the scoops for the big serious organizations.
Yeah, like the Young IPA podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look. I won't comment on what BuzzFeed should do, but
thought we were a team.
Yeah, no, well, that's maybe a fair point.
Co-signed media release, EP.
But if he, now that's a good point. BuzzFeed should stick to what they're good at. Look, if he has colluded with Russia to steal the election, then Peter Gregory will be the first person to say he's got to face the repercussions.
I don't think he'll be the first person to say it, to be honest. I think there will be a
cavalcade.
I will
be the first, mate.
There will be a cavalcade. Like Twitter would actually melt down.
Yeah.
Like, they would have to destroy Twitter because every single journalist in Washington, D.C. would be the first to break the story.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Well, they'd try it and I'd get there first. Anyway, but, you know, but they've been trying this for 2 years and it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Maybe it will. I don't know.
Investigation continues.
We'll keep you posted.
Okay, cool. That's it for the start of the show. So we'll now go to interviews with Bella about Australia Day and then Scott and Chris talking about looking forward. I guess we'll go to those. Make sure with looking forward... that you're downloading. So still waiting to be out on iTunes. You can download it through any other good podcast app and through the IPA website where you'll be able to listen to the pilot episode, the bonus one. You can listen to that there. Nina, before we go to those interviews, though, we should also talk about membership because we've got a lot of listeners out there. Maybe they want to become... Oh, Pete's got something.
So just on that podcast.
This is official business.
When does it come out?
Comes out tomorrow.
Comes out on Wednesdays.
Comes out on Wednesdays.
We come out on Tuesdays.
We come out on Tuesdays. They come out on Wednesdays.
Yep.
Nothing comes out.
Double podcast.
Double podcast.
Hmm.
Sorry.
That's all.
Subscribe to both. Good save, Pete. Nina, if people want to become a member and they want to support what the IPA does, how can they become members of the IPA?
Well, just visit the websites at ipa.org.au and click on the join button or click on the donate button if you want to donate instead. And by joining up as low as, starting as low as $22 per year, you can become one of the loudest voice of freedom in Australia.
Very cool. Let's go to those interviews now. Okay, we now welcome back onto the show after a lengthy hiatus. Boy, how long it's been. Dr. Bella DeBarra, welcome back.
It's been all of a week.
Yes. Now,
typical Bella just doesn't give other people a turn.
No, definitely
not. No, I want to be on this every week. I just
yeah, this is Bella. This is her pitch for a weekly segment.
Yeah.
All right, keep coming out with front page leading
I'll
polls.
Try. And that's what I'm doing. I'm doing.
We'll think about having you on every week.
I only do it so I can get on your podcast. It's the only way.
Well, we run a pretty tight ship here. But let's talk about it because this is your second huge week in a row. So last week we had the Australian History Report.
Yep.
Make sure you go back and listen to last week's episode if you missed that. But this week, just as big, if not bigger, the Australia Day poll. Now, this is something we've been doing. We also did last year. And this year, just talking about Australian attitudes towards Australia Day, what do people actually think, as opposed to what do the bigwigs down at the ABC think. Now, Bella, talk us through it. What's been going on?
Those bigwigs.
The bigwigs have one story, and the rest of the country has another story. So there's just this clash of, it's like different realities. It's like alternate realities. So the bigwigs have who are actually the minority, so the big minority, we'll call them, have this story.
Not everyone has a big wig. No, I think in itself, a big wig is a minority.
They just love peddling this really negative, really depressing, really overwhelmingly sort of dark version of Australia's history, which is the version that's taught in the university. So the two things, you know, there's a correlation between the Australian history that's taught in universities and the narrative that is peddled every year around Australia Day. So they think that it shouldn't be celebrated on the 26th, blah, blah, blah. But the rest of the country, who haven't been to university and haven't learnt this stuff at university, think, no, we want to have Australia Day. We're proud of Australia. We're proud of the history. We're proud of being Australians. Let's just keep it on the 26th of January.
So give us the hard facts of the poll. What, run us through a few of the figures.
I feel like some kind of machine when I say these figures now. So 75% of Australians want to keep Australia Day on the 26th of January. That's 5% more than last year, which doesn't sound like much, but given the ferocity of the debate and given how intensely the sort of the anti-Australia Day activists push, it's amazing that it's actually gone up 5%. Support for Australia Day has gone up.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that from reading media that there'd be a swing for it.
No, exactly. So it was really amazing. And then last year, 11% wanted to change the date. This year it's 10%, so that's gone down. So that's even better in a way. Then again, when you ask Australians if they're proud to be Australian, it was 88% are proud to be Australian and only 3% aren't. So that's really not many people. And that's the people who seem to be driving this debate, that sort of 3%, that 11%. And then in terms of history, 76% are proud of history and I think it was 11 or 12% aren't. So again, you know, small percentages.
Terrific. And of course, there are a few polls out at around the same time. Are you across those as well?
Well, there was a poll that Advance Australia did the day that we did ours, actually. And they came up with pretty much the same results. I think it was 80% wanted to keep the date on Australia Day. But we haven't had any other polls that were last year that tried to undermine the narrative. They have been very quiet this year. So okay.
That was an interesting thing on Twitter of all the people saying like, oh, this is just an IPA poll, of course. And it's like, well, you know, even if you do think it's just an IPA poll and we'd rig it, Advance Australia wouldn't rig it.
Well, look, it's impossible it's impossible to rig it. We come up with questions, which I would argue are not leading in any way. They're very straightforward questions. We give those questions to the Research Now, which is the professional marketing company, and they just ask 1,000 Australians. I don't know who they are. I'm not there when they do the questions. And we have no idea what the results get. It could have been really bad. It could have been the opposite. So, you know, there's this crazy argument that we can't believe the poll results because the IPA asked a company to It just doesn't make any difference to us. It's like the poll results have nothing to do with us.
It's a scientific polling company. This is not Nina at the front standing over people.
This is not me going. That is a very scientific way of figuring out things.
Well,
it's led us through more chaotic times than this. One other part of the poll I found really interesting was that 17% of young Australians between the ages of 18 and 24 said that Australia Day should not be celebrated on January 26th. And that has now plumped. Last year it was 17% thinks the date should be changed. Yeah. This year, 8%. That's like half.
Yes.
That's a halving of young people.
Yes. Again, you'd think would be the opposite because, you know, the whole sort of, it seems to be young people that push this. The story is that young people don't want Australia Day. Young people attract it. It's the opposite.
It's young people in the protests, like the Invasion Day protests.
Yes, you see young people.
It's always young people.
Yeah, and some really misguided older people.
Yeah, who just have nothing better to do.
The 18 to 24s are just they just don't. Their hostility is actually lessening. So
that's fantastic.
Which is really fantastic.
Okay, so I'm going to hit you with some research that I've done. City of Sydney.
Brace yourself. So we're in uncharted territories here.
Sort of delving into some of the arguments about why we should move the date.
Yes.
City of Sydney historian Lisa Murray has said that our ways of understanding and remembering the past are shifting. It demonstrates that Aboriginal people are demanding a voice and their rightful place in our history. Now, do you think it's realistic that Australians generally don't understand that bad things happened at various points to Indigenous people in our history? Do you know what I mean? So what I'm saying is, the left say, you know, people have to realise that bad things happen to Indigenous people.
Yes.
I think
bad things also happen to white people. But
I think that everyone understands that bad things have happened. It's a false claim to
everybody
say
that understands, people don't get that. Yes. Yeah, the version of history that is taught is that bad things happen to Indigenous people.
Yeah.
Especially, you don't get anything else. So, yeah, she's this is the same woman that said that we need to, that the, it's good that the statues were graffitied last year.
So she's got a track record in this.
She's got a track record. She's just an exemplary of the history that is being taught in universities. When you look at, you know, so the second most commonly taught topic is Indigenous studies in all of Australian history studies. But when you dig down and you delve into how it's taught, it's all about the negative. It's not about assimilation. It's about not about assimilation and cooperation, but rather about the opposite. And I've just sort of forgotten the words as I'm speaking.
That was last week.
So yeah, so she's. This is the story that is being pushed. So you're right. She's wrong. She's saying people don't know about it, but actually everybody really does. What we need is the positive. We need the other side. We need more balance. All histories have terrible moments. All civilizations have terrible moments. Good, and you know, Robert Toombs famously said last year, light and dark pages. And it's true. All they're doing now is focusing on the dark pages. And that's terrible for civilization. Of course, Western civilization is going to lose confidence in itself, and Australians will lose confidence in themselves. But, you know, saying that, the poll says otherwise. The poll says people are still proud to be Australians. So it's, thankfully, this version hasn't sort of infiltrated the majority of Australians yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I thought, like, just on that, I thought it was really interesting that one of the founding members of Yothu Yindi, like that massive Indigenous band, he said, and I'm quoting here, for me, I like to, well, he's saying we should keep it on January 26th. He says it's a unity and redemption. These are the themes that he sees in it. And the quote here is, for me, I'd like to celebrate because of my survival. I've got my black power culture that I still carry on. So it is possible for Aboriginals to also feel pride in January 26th.
Well, yeah.
Well, last year we interviewed Ian Hunter, who's the Wurundjeri elder, and he loves Australia on the day to be on the 26th of January, and he's very vocal about how it's for all Australians, and he's proud of his Indigenous heritage, and he's proud of his white heritage, and, you know, this narrative is generally pushed by, you know, the liberal, the lefty.
Yep. The ones who want retweets.
Yes.
Yeah.
The ones who live in inner city Melbourne.
And the ones that want something to talk about over champagne and someone's high-rise apartment.
Otherwise known as champagne socialists.
Yeah. And current day, to be honest.
And current day. Okay. Still known as
current. The champagne is still flowing and the socialism is still being discussed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got another quote for you. Doug Morrissey had a great piece in the Herald Sun today. He wrote, really discussed because it doesn't fit. The conflict model is the harmony and cooperation that existed between the races as white settlement spread. Do you think that aspect of Australia's history is underrepresented in this discussion?
Yeah, absolutely. It's what we were saying before. It's the conflict model is the model that's being pushed. You know, you rarely hear someone actually expounding the benefits of Western civilization, of the values that the British brought to these shores. You only hear the story of the conflict story, and we need the balance. People need to know exactly the whole ambit. You need to know both sides, you know, and that's why I like Geoffrey Blainey's books, because he gives you that balance. He spends a whole first volume on Indigenous Australia, like the half of the volume on Indigenous Australia, and I think that's really interesting and it's really fair.
What's that called? Because I've always been to read that.
So the book is called The Story of Australia's People, and it's two volumes, and it's just such an interesting read. So I really recommend both of them, both volumes.
I'll put it on my list.
Yep. Christmas is coming.
I think, reprinted last year.
Well, my birthday is coming, Pete, so maybe, you know, if you wanted to. Anyway, now, Bella, you have been all over the Australian media in the last week talking about the Australia Day poll. You cannot watch Sky News for longer than 45 seconds without seeing Bella's face pop up. One thing we Pete and I have been watching, and Nina, we've been watching the media appearances. We've been loving them. Mm. You have presented the arguments really well. Mm. But you have one critic of your performance on SBS News, and that would be your own mother. So do you want to tell us about that?
What was her beef?
So her beef was my hair.
Really?
Yeah, which was my beef as well, but I couldn't do anything about it.
So yeah, my mum hates my hair as well, essentially... so you and I have something in common here.
Generally, she's a fan of my hair, but she's strangely always surprised at how curly it is, but I feel like saying you've known me for a while now. Yeah,
my whole life.
It's been pretty humid in Melbourne the last couple of days. Yeah. Things have not been great out there for Bella.
She watched it and she was polite at the beginning. She goes, no, it wasn't too bad. And then she came back to me and she goes, I watched it again and it was actually, your hair was out of control. They
upon
put
reflection.
Me in a wind upon, tunnel. Yeah. Upon reflection, your hair was really bad. Yeah. I didn't get interviewed in the studio, which is what I thought. So I wasn't particularly worried about the fact that I was having a very big hair day. So
Right. Depending
on the humidity and everything else, I've already got big hair. Hmm. And so they said, we'll just go and film over there. And I just, this is a bit windy. And so, but I couldn't do anything because I was sort of stuck holding the telephone with one hand because the reporter wasn't even there. She was on the phone somewhere else. Oh. So I had to have one hand...
Budget cut to this.
With, yeah, with the phone on speak... The photographer, the film...
The video.
Sorry, the journalist was on the phone on my right hand and then the wind was just blowing everywhere. So for most of the interview, my face was obscured. At one point, my whole face was obscured by my hair. And then the wind changed direction and it blew up from behind. So I've just got this crazy... Which sort of
was it at a moment where
crazy.
You were getting like righteously indignant
yes.
and
yeah.
your hair
and it
just
was,
rises
and it really
up.
Did and it was a bit that they used
yeah
for
of course
the
where
thing.
You set up I'm hearing a setup
oh it was terrible
I'm not so, gonna lie I'm hearing a setup
I was more upset about my hair than I was about anything else to yeah. do with that thing
well,
can never fix why didn't I just think to tie it back
yeah. To Bella's detractors out there you now have the idea
another one
now I actually have something else I want to discuss with you so. Renee Gorman, friend of the podcast, mm-hmm. one of the researchers here, has pointed out that January 26th has another big
yes.
moment in Australian history.
Mm-hmm.
And something like, you know, there might be people out there who legitimately feel that January 26th might not be a day worth celebrating. But I will raise this as a reason you should get around Australia Day or January 26th still. January 26th was the date of the Rum Rebellion.
1808.
Yeah. Now, this is a pretty famous rebellion in Australian history. Google it. And... this is something where people could celebrate by getting drunk on rum and marching on Parliament, which is how I spend most of my Saturday nights anyway, so it would be great to have some people on board for once.
The guy knows, James.
Yeah,
the guy
that guy again. Bloody hell, 11:30 every night for Sailor Jerry's. But,
drunk on rum.
Do you think that we should try and incorporate rum rebellion traditions into traditional Australia Day celebrations?
Yeah. And talk us through what that was, if you know.
Well, I think they probably already drink rum on Australia Day, don't they?
I will be drinking rum on Australia
Day. Yeah, so it's already happening.
Yeah. But in an official capacity.
In an official capacity.
Should there be some sort
something,
of rum?
Something concrete.
Rebellion, potentially both.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Let's. It's much more exciting.
All right, fantastic.
I mean, there are a few rebellions in Australian
really?
History.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Eureka.
There's the Rum Rebellion, there's Eureka. That's it. Can you think of anything else? That's few. That's two. So why not celebrate the Rum Rebellion?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
We can recreate him being pulled from under the bed, Captain Bly.
Oh, that part
Every
of the
year.
I thought you said we could recreate the rebellion.
Oh,
I
we
was
could
like,
recreate
well,
the rebellion as well.
Yeah. Oh,
what
that's
was
that?
That
I'm going to slice out that clip, and that's going to be the podcast promo. Is Bella calling for the drunken?
March on Parliament. She's called for a coup.
She is called for the abolition of Parliament.
A coup started
for drunken people to take it. Probably would do a better job, to be honest. Cool. All right. Bella, thank you so much for joining us. You can go on ipa.org.au. You can read all the stuff that Bella's been doing about Australia Day this year and in years past. You can read the full results of the poll. And on our Facebook page, you can see all of Bella's media commitments over the last week. It's been great. Bella, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you again next week when you're back in the headlines.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dr. Bella.
Okay, we now welcome onto the show Dr. Chris Berg and Scott Hargraves, both here at the IPA, and they've got a very big announcement. So, Scott, maybe you want to tee us off on the big announcement.
They're pregnant. No, just kidding.
Just kidding. Thank you, James and Pete. Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having us. Yes, Chris and I are on today to talk about another IPA podcast that's launching this week. It is, we've called it Looking Forward, and Chris will explain in a minute why it's called Looking Forward, but this is a chance for us to look at topical events, political events, Australia, overseas, but really try and get underneath them a little bit and try and work out what they mean in policy terms, what's really driving things, and it should be really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Terrific. So you've said that you want to, and I'll get Chris to answer this one, you've said that you want to save the country and rejuvenate liberalism and conservatism. So a modest goal to kick things off, I'd say.
Yeah, just some minor tasks. Look, this is something that, obviously this is a really important moment in Australian politics and global politics. We've had a couple of years of the populist revolutions around the world, and we've got a government that, coalition federal government that is looking in some degree of decline. Now is the right time to talk about how we can rejuvenate the ideas of individual liberty, of individual freedom and rights, and to make those relevant for this modern era where this is a big task. It's the role of a think tank like the Institute of Public Affairs to do that, and we think one of the mediums and one of the spaces in which we can try to rebuild these ideas and discuss not just the daily politics but the ideas underpinning them and the big challenges and crises of our time is through a podcast. There's nothing more 2019 than a podcast.
Yeah, very cutting edge.
Very cutting edge, very modern. And you know, I'm a voracious consumer of podcasts, and I thought, well, you know, you can't be in this game without having your own podcast. So it's exciting that Scott and I, we get a podcast too.
It's great to hear you finally getting off the bench and onto the field. So this podcast, Looking Forward, it's going to be coming out every Wednesday. It's going to be available through all good podcast apps and through the IPA website. So Chris, Scott mentioned it before that you were going to tell us about what the name Looking Forward refers to.
Yeah, Looking Forward. So Looking Forward was the first publication of the Institute of Public Affairs. So published in 1944, it was really a statement of principles, an agenda of reform that would pull Australia out of the sort of the socialized war economy that had been in during the Second World War and towards a free enterprise, private enterprise, liberal future. It was a very important document because it really, and Robert Menzies acknowledged the importance of looking forward to his thinking as he was developing the future of liberalism. It was an important document in just setting up the next couple of decades of Australian politics. And again, immodestly, that's what we're hoping at least some of the conversations that we have on the podcast can try to spark.
Excellent. So you want Scott Morrison and Bill Shorten listening to this at their Wednesday Zumba class. Excellent stuff.
Exactly.
Are you going to be interviewing people or having panel discussions, or what's the format?
The general format, it is a panel format. Chris and I organised it, so we're going to make sure that we're always on it. It's like when you're captain and vice captain, you know that you're actually going to be on the team every week.
Yeah, so. Or the Dick Cheney method of like, oh, we've tried to find a vice president and it comes back that it should be me. So
yes, that's right. So that part of it's work. And then we'll have two other panelists who will vary from week to week probably. So one of our wonderful IPA staffers and some external people, some of our adjunct fellows, wonderful people like Professor Sinclair Davidson. So it'll be a shifting cast, but... And from that, you know, breadth of perspectives, you know, some of which will be represented around the table, we'll be able to pick out some ideas. As Chris said, there's a lot going wrong in the world, and it's easy just to talk about what's wrong, but it's also about working out what's a better way forward and all of these
things. The idea behind this podcast is to have some really interesting and extended conversations about Australian politics. There are a lot of Australian politics podcasts now, but they tend to be run by by journalists who will talk to you about like who won Parliament that week, which I find one of the most mind-numbing and boring topics that you can imagine. But also it doesn't tell you about, you know, why do these things matter? So why does the policy debate of the day, why does the energy policy debate actually matter not just to Australians' lives and to household budgets, but why does it matter to the future of the country that we want to see? Why does the debate about freedom of speech matter? It's not just something, it's not just a debate about personalities, about, you know, Tony Abbott or Bill Leake or someone like that. It's about the country that we want to be in, the country we want to be in the future. So we're hoping to have some long-form discussions. We're hoping to have some really in-depth and interesting debates and controversies, to get a variety of perspectives from the centre-right, the libertarian, conservative, classical liberal worldview, and really, really get to the bottom of these big, important, complicated issues.
Chris, that sounds great, but I do have to ask you, who did win Parliament this week?
Well, thank God it wasn't even on. We all, as they say, no one wins.
We're the winners.
Yeah. I think everyone wins when Parliament's not sitting. But anyway, so this Wednesday will be the first one off the rank. So who's going to be on the show and what do you reckon you guys are going to be talking about?
Well, we're actually just discussing that today. We've actually done one pilot podcast, which will be going online as well, which was with...
A bonus track.
Yeah.
A bonus track, if you will, which was with Sinclair Davidson and Dan Wilde, of course, Scott and myself. And I believe that we're having Renee Gorman and Richard Alsop on to talk about the politics of the week, some of the cultural issues, and also another segment that we have, which is what are people reading, watching, and listening to that's interesting? So what books, movies, and music people enjoying, because life isn't all about politics, and God help us if it was.
That sounds fantastic. I did listen to the pilot and I loved it, I must say. I noticed at the start you've chosen some uplifting percussion music. Choice of music for a podcast is very important. How did you guys reach that decision?
Yeah, look, we were really looking for something that had a Mad Max Fury Road vibe, just to really, really drill down on the energy that the podcast is going to bring. Nothing says excitement like a 50-minute long-form discussion about policy issues.
The Tom Hardy, Chris Berg parallels are too numerous to mention.
I was thinking more Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
I mean, the choice of music for a podcast is very important. I was on the train when we chose our track. I won't say I was drunk, but I was positive.
Yep.
And I texted James, listen to this tune, you'll love it. And
he went, to remind me, it's one of my favorites as well.
We both love the song. Anyway.
What a hard lifting story.
Yeah, it's a bit of a peek behind the curtain. So Pete and I are experienced podcasters. We've known the game for a while. I know Chris says that he subscribes to a lot of podcasts. And, you know, there's only so much you can learn from listening. You have to really get in and do stuff. So, Pete, what advice would you give these new up-and-comers on the scene? Hoping to make their stance.
Yeah, a couple of the young whippersnappers coming through. Always good to see, James. I would say you don't want to over-prepare. You know, you don't want to have your lines too worked out. Just see what comes out your mouth.
Pete comes from the three dot point school of podcast preview.
You're a man who clearly lives his advice.
That's right.
Everything I've seen from the wonderful podcast that you have.
Yeah.
What about you, James?
My advice would be to, if you ever think you're getting stuck or maybe that you're not making a great point, just say whatever it is you're saying, but louder. Yeah, and eventually people would be swayed as to what you're saying.
Good work. Now this
lean into the microphone.
No, I think this whole thing that we're doing now, it's like that in comics when you have those, you know, those crossover issues that you know, suddenly Spider-Man turns up with Thor.
Yeah,
and
I'm Thor.
Yeah, I'm not skinny enough to be Spider-Man, but yeah, I think, you know, one day we might even get you guys on our podcast. We'll see what we can do.
Well, the world is calling out for my deep insights into the political issues of the day. All right, cool. So that is Looking Forward. You can subscribe to it on any podcast platform, as I've said. And if you are listening through iTunes, make sure you leave us a rating, especially when a podcast has just launched. It's really important to get some ratings to help some new people come to the podcast. Looking Forward comes out every Wednesday. Dr. Chris Berg, Scott Hargraves, thank you so much. We can't wait to listen to more of these episodes.
Thank you.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thank you to Dr. Bella DeBurro, Dr. Chris Berg, and Scott Hargraves. Make sure you're downloading and subscribing to Looking Forward so you never miss an episode. And make sure you're going to ipa.org.au to read all of Bella's findings.
I can't wait till hump day.
No, you cannot.
It's really spice it up.
Spicy. And let us talk about some of the stories that have made us laugh this week, Pete. And this
Scott
is
and Chris are spicy.
Spiciest duo these eyes have ever seen. let us talk, because this is, it's been a week. It sort of like came out, we would have discussed it on the show last week, the Delete ad, but it kind of came out like an hour after we pressed release on the podcast, which is annoying.
Very inconsiderate.
I wish Delete had timed it a bit better for us, but they did not, and Pete has a few views.
Yeah. I mean, as James said, we did, you know, we don't normally do last week's news, but we thought that we would because we did. So obviously big story last week, the Delete ad came out saying that men have to behave better. You would have all seen the ad. I think, James, the funny thing for me is that, you know, the same people that hate religion now expect razor companies to give people lessons in morality.
Yes.
How did you...
To be honest, all right.
Here we go.
This is gonna be good. Massive, massive. I'm not spending any time on this because every 3 months, a crocodile is torn to pieces in Far North Queensland.
That should be a segment.
It is a segment for me. When I don't come up, when I don't have any opinion on anything, it's because those crocodiles are killing people.
Yeah.
Thank you to Bob Catter. My gut feel is I didn't think the ad was that bad. Yeah. I think it is weird that Gillette is moralizing to us. And that is one discussion, but like, I didn't really care.
Yeah, okay.
And find me the blokes at a barbecue that aren't going to stop kids punching each other. Like, that part is weird.
My dad never watching it. Let me punch people.
Like, there's rough housing, and then there's, like, the kid was on the floor getting the stuffing knocked out of him.
Well,
I don't know. I didn't think it was as bad as everyone on Twitter was saying. They weren't calling every man under the sun, you know. Yeah.
Well, I'm a little bit of that, too. I think, you know, I think everyone's too sensitive these days, including people that think that Gillette ad is a horrendous attack on masculinity. But I'd also say that I paraphrase a little bit Joe Rogan, who says that, you know, good guys already know this stuff and wouldn't behave like that. But sexist human refuse abusers are hardly going to watch this ad and go, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to change my ways.
Yeah, no one is like betting on two children beating each other up at a barbecue and then a momentary flash of a Gillette ad on TV shows them the error of their ways.
I'm not being the best a man can be. I would also say that it creates this sort of sense of emergency and crisis, which is not true, because if you look at pretty much every indicator, men are treating women better than they have before.
All right. So, case closed. I'll move on to another one. This is a funny story. So, well, it's actually kind of sad because, anyway, let you be the judge.
Yeah, you be the judge.
There's funny parts, there's sad parts. You'll laugh, you'll cry. Yeah. All right. So, John Stoll Jr. is a man in a Warrington township in the US, in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
And he is part of a deer rescue operation. So 5 deer had fallen in a lake. They get a few out. They don't get some others out, but there's one. He's clean, you know, this deer is clinging to life.
It's like ice.
Yeah.
It falls with ice.
They fall through the ice in a lake. So one's clinging to life. And John Stoll does, you know, a really heroic thing, brings the deer home, surrounds it with blankets and warmth, and, you know, tries to get the deer back.
Mm.
Fortunately, doesn't work out. But John Stoll tries really hard, and that should be the end of it. But it is not, because Stoll is visited by the local government.
Yep.
Apparently Stoll had bought home wildlife without a permit, and now he's going to be fined.
Yeah. Well, I would like
God to help any man that would try and help a deer in peril.
You know, what was he meant to do? Just let Bambi die in the snow?
Yeah. That would have been a much different... That would have been a different Bambi, someone shoots Bambi and a local government councillor throws himself in front of the bullet saying, where's your license?
Yeah.
And then Bambi saved. Maybe I'm on the wrong side of things.
Maybe
here.
You are.
Yeah.
No, well, I'll read a quote to you from Pennsylvania Game Commission Press Secretary Travis Lau, who said, all wildlife in Pennsylvania is protected. No one owns it. When any wildlife is rehabilitated, it's required to be done through a licensed wildlife rehabilitator. Your average Joe can't just take in an animal and rehabilitate it.
Yeah.
You can't just take animals and look after them. James?
I would have loved that to have been screamed around the lake. They finally pull a deer out of a lake and someone just screams out, we got to get this guy to a wildlife rehabilitator license stat.
Yeah. Don't just look after it. Anyway.
Anyway, America's gone. All right. I'll move on to Pete. I know you have another one.
I do. Yes. As per the pre-show meeting, I am going to talk about this topic. Christina Bahar in, I think it's Bahar, apologies if I'm not pronouncing that correctly, in Woodinville, Washington, another American one, posted an advertisement on behalf of her 9-year-old daughter, Sarah, who is willing to do housework, stuff like laundry, dishes, etc., for neighborhood mums and dads who needed help. 6 hours later, the cops showed up to make sure Sarah wasn't being abused or worked to death. The cops, yep. James. Not like wildlife services. No, not wildlife. Hang on. Yeah. Children aren't wildlife. That's not what I'm saying. You know, like
damaging revelation there from Peter Gregory.
I mean, like, you know, the government agencies look after kids.
I know what I heard.
Yeah, fair enough. The cops, as if they've got nothing better to do.
Yeah.
Apparently the ad generated, so this is from the mum. Apparently the ad generated multiple phone calls from paranoid neighbours thinking I was using my child as a slave. It's the dobbing in that gets me.
Yeah.
Who are these people that are ringing the cops?
Yep.
Over this stuff?
Sorry, who?
The constabulary.
I thought you were going to say the cops again. You were saying really funny. I also like the parents who think that this is a slave. Like, how arrogant do you think this mum is?
Yeah.
That, like, not only is she keeping a child as a slave, but she's also advertising it
yeah. In
the public. By the way, I've got a slave.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
Do you think that was the end game of this mum's mind?
And does they know how slavery works? Like, she's getting paid. She's a slave.
Yeah. That was the other part. So the cop that shows up was really sympathetic to the mum. And he's like, look, this is my job. I have to do this. But we're getting these reports. He did leave with a warning that I should never post anything about my child wanting payment for her services. Why is it better if she's not asking for pay?
Yeah.
Isn't that worse?
That's worse.
That slaves mean?
Yeah.
You don't get paid?
Yeah, exactly. Well, this would be better if your child was being paid for the services that they're offering to others.
Well, she might be interning.
Yep.
So,
yeah, we do need someone at this magazine.
Yeah.
And there's no job offer at the end, despite what you might think.
Yeah. So, look, yeah, no, look, that's all that is.
All right. I got another one here. We're flying through the end here. Sorry. CNN analyst Areva Martin and Fox Nation host David Webb, they're talking about, they're talking about race in America.
Oh, and finally, someone's talking about race in America.
It is an issue. But anyway, so I think only the audio is going to do this justice, so we'll just play it now.
I've chosen to cross different parts of the media world, done the work so that I'm qualified to be in each one. I never considered my color the issue. I considered my qualifications the issue.
Well, David, you know, that's a whole nother long conversation about white privilege and things that you have the privilege of doing that people of color don't have the privilege of.
How do I have the privilege of white privilege?
David, by virtue of being a white male, you have white privilege. This whole long conversation, I don't have time to get into.
Areva, I hate to break it to you, but you should have been better prepped. I'm black.
Okay.
This is the logical endpoint of identity politics. It's like, well, the only, like, you know, we talk about this with Australia Day, where it's like, she hears that view and goes, oh, the only person that can possibly hold this view is a white person, because any other demographic of people can't hold that view.
Yeah.
Yeah.
African-American people all have the same opinion.
The other part of it I like is that she tries to she apologizes and then just immediately tries to jump off into the next topic. And it's like,
nah,
we're not jumping off.
He's like, no.
Allow me to walk away from the best moment of this interview and just talk about something else for a while.
Yeah, no, that's...
Nah, you just got to take, the hits.
Yeah.
you stuffed up and the piper has to be paid.
Yeah, listen to the full clip. It's pretty funny. He just keeps saying no.
Cool. All right. That is... Oh, and then the last one I want to say. This is a bit of a slice of life kind of thing.
What a life it is.
I have a confession to make to both of you.
Oh, really?
I am completely addicted to reading about Fyre Festival and watching Fyre Festival documentaries.
Okay.
It's been 2 years. 1 year? 1 year.
Feels longer.
Yeah.
Feels like a lifetime.
Feels like a lifetime ago that I was scrolling through the internet reading literally anything, single thing I could read about this festival.
Explain to people what it is.
All right, sorry. Because this... I've had to really explain it to people. But anyway, so last year there was going to be a festival called Fyre Festival where this entrepreneur and Ja Rule and all these, like, you know, Instagram celebrities had bought a island in the Bahamas. They were going to hold a music festival. It was going to promote an app. They'd never run a festival before. And then all of the things start happening. Like, they can't afford the villas. Everyone's in tents.
Yeah.
They can't afford to book any of the music acts. Apparently, Billy, the guy that puts it all together, had to look up how to hire a stage on a Google search because they just weren't trusting the advice of anyone who runs it. You know, you've got interviews with all these employees that are saying, like, you know, we were telling them problems that were well ahead of time, leading to the best exchange in the history of the planet, which is one marketing person saying this just isn't feasible and the director of marketing saying, let's just be legends and do it, which I want to adopt as the official saying of the Young IPA podcast. Yeah. If we're ever up against something, let's just be legends and do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm addicted to the Fyre Festival.
Yeah.
And Pete, I know you've watched the documentary as well.
I have, yep.
How jealous are you that you weren't at the Fyre Festival?
I am.
That documentary made me so wish I was there.
How come?
You've just got the best anecdotes for the history of your life. You can say, oh, yeah, I was at Fyre Festival. Oh, dude, what was that like? It's like,
mate, you spent like $3,000 or $4,000 to sleep in a wet tent for one night.
You spent $3,000 or $4,000 to have the best story.
What's the story? They were stuck at the airport, like.
Mate, didn't you see the whole thing where there were like riots and stuff and there was looting?
They didn't get their money back.
Yeah, so basically they get there, everyone had booked in like villa accommodation, they spent thousands of dollars, and they're just directed to tents.
Mm, and which were used for hurricane.
Hurricanes. The mattresses are soaked.
And they're all wet.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, we don't know where anyone's sleeping tonight, so just grab one.
Yeah.
And then you get cut to an interview with a guy who's like, oh, yeah, so I was there. And yeah, we just basically, we started ransacking other tents. We started stealing mattresses from other people. I think I even peed on someone's mattress.
Yeah, he was bad, that guy.
And then, yeah, but then like, that guy's just not brought back for the rest of the documentary. Yeah. Like, we never hear from him again. It's like, wait, did he say he just peed on things? It's like, no, we're going to talk about marketing for a while.
Yeah.
I wish I was there. I think you, especially, would have become a leader. You would have become a catalyst for the people's revolt against
Billy. Are you saying that I would flourish in a lawless society?
I think you would. I think you would. Like, if you were at Fyre Festival, you'd still be at that island. Yeah. And there would just be stories of your exploits.
And I would have started a new world. Perfect society.
Of mattresses and tents.
There's no, you know, crime or
and Peter, pain. Nina and I would have to go find you, and it would be basically be Apocalypse Now, and that we'd finally turn up and there'd be hundreds of people just surrounding you while you sit there and stare at us.
It's like, what's happening in outside world?
Peter, you okay in there, buddy?
Anyway, it was a shame. You know, lots of local workers didn't get paid, etc.
Oh, the good news is that after the documentaries came out, a GoFundMe was set up for that. So one of the main interview guests is a woman from the Bahamas who was employing people out of her own pocket at one point, just to get the day laborers down there, and then she lost a lot of money.
Lost all her savings.
Lost all of her savings, but the GoFundMe page got set up and she already has more money than she initially had when Fyre Festival started, so that's a good news slice for life. There and a good place to end the podcast, so good on her and good on people.
I don't think we should end the podcast because I have an announcement to make.
Okay.
It's James's birthday.
No, it isn't.
When's your birthday?
15th of February.
Is it? Because you told me. You told me it was your birthday.
Hilarious ever.
You said it was your birthday, and you
I said my birthday was coming up,
and you said you were facing one point a quarter life crisis.
Did you say last week that your birthday lacks like next month?
Nope. I
mentioned it.
My birthday is definitely February 15.
Are you sure?
I'm 100%. Look, you've caused a crisis of identity.
My story is.
Never
lost anybody's mind.
All
right. My story is, hang on, just for the listeners out there, James has already started feeling like he's having a quarter life crisis.
Yes.
Because his birthday's coming up.
Yep.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that it's birthday.
Australia
today.
Day's coming up, mate.
How often do you feel like, how long do you feel bad about your birthday for?
Oh, Pete.
Well, we'll talk about this more next week.
Dr. Bellaterbera, Dr. Chris, and the week after. Scott Hargraves. For those interviews, make sure you go to ipa.org.au. Make sure you're downloading and subscribing to Looking Forward. Nina, let's talk about, can you...
I'm still crying. Like, that's, yes, membership.
Yeah.
If you love Pete and James, I would like to support
If you want to wish me a happy birthday today or my actual birthday.
Well, just visit the website, ipa.org.au. I'm pretty sure there will be a comment section somewhere in the website. Or if you want to be a member instead, which is really good, or... Well, just join. Click on the join button and starting as low as $22 per year, you can become one of the loudest voice of freedom in Australia.
Had no faith in Nina being able to get through all that without laughing.
What a great job.
All right, see you guys next week.
So, happy birthday, James.